Book of 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there to chapter 12. We'll be in chapter 12 tonight and looking at the last or the second half of that chapter, starting in verse 12. And this morning we were talking about Samuel's address to the people, and in a way this was sort of a retirement speech for Samuel in a way. And I remember when I retired, actually, I was laid off then. That's how they retired me at my job. But in this particular case, Samuel was old. He was advanced in age, and this was his final talk with the people of Israel in chapter 12. And we saw this morning that he was talking about his integrity, the integrity of his ministry. And we found out that Samuel was indeed a very honest man, a man of integrity, no doubt about that. And the fact also that Samuel recounted to the nation of Israel the righteous acts of God during their history up to this point. And tonight we're going to continue that in verse 12. And Samuel is going to challenge the nation of Israel in this passage in verses 12 through 25. As you recall, the nation of Israel, the Israelites, wanted a king to rule over them. God gave them a king. But still, the Israelites had to deal with the fact that what they wanted was a sinful request from God. And Samuel is going to challenge the people of Israel, as we see in this passage, and they're going to have to make a decision. There's always an accounting. You know, if we sin against God, there's always consequences to bear. And we're going to see in this passage that indeed the nation of Israel had consequences to bear. But we're also going to see that they made the right decision in this passage. So let's start reading at verse 12, 1 Samuel 12, verse 12. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. First of all, verse 12, Samuel mentioned Nahash, who was the king of the Ammonites. They invaded Israel, and the Israelites were delivered by Saul. We read about that in chapter 11, the chapter before this one. And we see also that Samuel chastised the people in verse 12. He said, no, but a king shall reign over us. That's what the people of Israel wanted. Samuel warned them, you know, that they were making a foolish request. But the people said, we want a king to rule and to reign over us. And Samuel made a statement at the end of verse 12. If you'll notice that, he said, when the Lord your God was your king. You know, God wanted to be the king of Israel. He wanted to lead the Israelites. The people rejected God's authority. They wanted a human king. God, in his sovereign grace, granted them a human king. It was King Saul. And you know what happened to Saul. We all know the story of Saul, what kind of king he was over the nation of Israel. And we see here again, we see Israel's self-will. I mentioned that this morning. That the Israelites wanted to, they wanted to do their will, but they didn't want to do God's will. They wanted to have their way. They didn't want to have God's way. They wanted to go their way and not go God's way. They wanted to follow a human king, but they didn't want to follow the Lord. How sad that is. And yet when we think about these things, brothers, sisters in Christ, we must come to a conclusion. You know, you and I are a lot like this, the children of Israel, aren't we? In our attitude sometimes. We want to go our way and not God's way. And I've been there. You know, I mentioned this last week. And I had to suffer the consequences for my self-will. So have you. You've done that too in your life as a believer. But here, Samuel is telling the people, you know, God was willing to be their king. God, the Lord God was willing to be their leader. And the people didn't want him. How sad and how tragic that is. But in verse 13, Samuel told the people, he says, now therefore behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. The people desired to have a king, and the Lord gave them a king. You recall in the book of Numbers, you remember when the children of Israel were in the desert and they started grumbling and griping and complaining to Moses, as they sometimes did. They were getting sick and tired of eating. Well, you know, we're tired of eating this manna. It's manna Monday, manna Tuesday, manna Wednesday, manna breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack time. All we got is manna. We ain't got anything else. I'm being a little facetious when I say snack time. But the people of Israel came to Moses and they laid their grumbling and their complaints. And here was the Lord providing so wonderfully, so graciously for the children of Israel. Yeah, we get tired of this stuff. We get tired of this manna. We want some meat to eat. And what did God do? He gave them meat, didn't he? He sent them about 1 billion quails who came fluttering down, and the people went out there and they went crazy. And the people had meat to eat. They had plenty of meat to eat, all right. But we see that they had to suffer the consequences for this wickedness, this disobedience. And God killed some of the children of Israel. He caused some of them to die. And they repented and told Moses, well, you know, we don't want this meat anymore. We'll follow the Lord. And it seems like that every time the children of Israel wanted a request that was not good for them, sometimes God will give them that request in order to show them the consequences of their disobedience. And doesn't God do the same thing with us, brother, sister, Christ? Doesn't he do that? And we see that Samuel deeply cared for the people of Israel. He loved them very much. He was their prophet. He was their judge. He was their leader. He wanted what was best for his people. And unfortunately and tragically, the people of Israel didn't want what was good for them. They wanted other things. But in verse 14, we see that Samuel mentions four things that the people should do. He was challenging them here in verse 14. He mentioned four things that they should do. Number one, fear the Lord. Number two, serve him. Number three, obey his voice. And number four, not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Those are the four things that Samuel told the people of Israel they had to do. They had, first of all, to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:17 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, wasn't that the children of Israel? Did not they despise wisdom and instruction? You remember last week when we were talking about this, how God told them what kind of king that will rule over them, and how horrible, what a tyrant and a dictator this guy was going to be. Yet the people of Israel, oh, Lord, we still want a king. Bring him on. We still want this human king to rule over us. And it showed that the people of Israel were foolish. They despised God's wisdom and despised God's instruction. And here Samuel is saying, fear the Lord. Now, we're not talking about the people had to be afraid of God. They didn't have to be frightened of God. What we're talking about here is a reverential awe for God in His Word. That's what Samuel was talking about. He wanted the people to be in reverential fear or reverential awe of God. Another way of saying that is that Samuel wanted the people of Israel to respect God, to show respect to the Lord God of Israel, to fear Him. The second thing that Samuel said the people had to do is to serve Him. Serve Him. You know, the Israelites throughout all their history, they had gotten wrapped up into the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations exerted a big influence on the people of Israel over the years, and they would get wrapped up in idol worship, and they would serve these worthless idols, but they wouldn't serve God. And Samuel is saying here, you know, folks, you've got to serve the Lord. You can't serve these worthless idols. They're good for nothing. And it's the same thing with us. You know, the application, I think, is clear for us today that we can serve other things besides God, you know. We can serve other things that on the surface may seem pretty good, may seem legitimate, may seem okay, may not harm us directly. And we think, well, we can serve these things, but God says, no, you can't serve these things. You've got to put me first. You can't put these things, other things, first in your life. And that's what the children of Israel were doing, you see, by serving idols. The third thing that Samuel told the people they had to do was obey His voice. Obey His voice. All that is, it's just simple obedience to God and His Word. Don't obey the Gentile nations around you. Don't be influenced by them. They're not your God. I am your God. I am the one who loves you and cares for you and protects you and provides for you. You obey me, you see. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we forget that, don't we? We forget the fact that we're supposed to obey God. We're not supposed to use our human intelligence and our own reasoning, as good as those things are sometimes. We are supposed to obey God. His will is first place, should be first place in our life. See, that's where the children of Israel got off the track. They put their will first and God's will second, or not at all. So Samuel is saying to the people, the thing they had to do was to obey His voice. The fourth thing that Samuel said the people had to do is not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. You know, the people wouldn't be a nation of rebels against God, but God wanted them to be obedient to His will and to His word, you see. And I think the application for us as believers is that the word of God should be obeyed by believers. And you're probably saying, well, wow, Earl, that sure is a real, you came up with a real good one that time. I hadn't heard this, but 5,000 times over the past couple years, obedience to the Word of God. So what? I already know that. Well, see, we Christians, we believe, we have a problem sometimes. And one of those problems, we try to find out how to get around obedience to the Word of God. We look for loopholes in the Scriptures so we can get around obeying the Word of God. And you know, sometimes that'll cost us, brother, sister, Christ. If we try to get around disobeying God, we're going to have to suffer the consequences of that. And I'm here to tell you that if you disobey the Word of God, that's a sin. It's a sin for you. It's a sin for me. It's a sin for all God's people if we try to get around from obeying God's word. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, "Well, you know, Earl, that's just your interpretation of the scriptures." Well, when it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," how are you going to interpret that? When it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," how are you going to interpret that? You know, I'm all for rightly dividing the word of truth. I am for that. And making the proper application. But brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word is supposed to be obeyed. We shouldn't look for loopholes in the word of God. Trying to get around it so we can kind of like have our own way and disobey God's word. And you know, we build it, we justify ourselves in our own minds. Why don't we just, and if the word of God says something, why don't we just obey it? Isn't that what God wants? It may be hard. It may be tough. But, you know, obedience sometimes is hard. And sometimes it is tough. But we can do it. We have the Spirit of God inside of us to strengthen us, to help us to do that, to be obedient to the Word of God. And the people of Israel, and Samuel was reminding the people of Israel, do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. And one of the things that Samuel was trying to get across to the people, if you rebel against the commandment of the Lord, you are going to suffer the consequences of that rebellion, of that disobedience. And again, we go back to that same truth that I just talked about a few minutes ago. If we disobey God, we're going to suffer the consequences of that disobedience. It's very simple. But in verse 15, Samuel encouraged the people of Israel in verse 14 to do these four things. And in verse 15, he said, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." If you don't listen to God's warning about having a king, you're going to have to suffer the consequences for that. And the people, you know, we talked about last time that the people were defiant, they were stubborn, they were disobedient, they rebelled against the Lord, they refused to obey the Lord. And, you know, if we notice something in the lives of the people of Israel, and we notice something in our own lives, if we refuse to obey God, that's going to open up all sorts of bad things for us. Disobedience, brother and sister in Christ, disobedience has a price. I've suffered that price as a believer. So have you in your life. You know what I'm talking about. The people of Israel had to be reminded, if you're going to disobey God, you're going to have to, it comes with a price tag attached to it. And disobedience in God's sight, you and I may take those things lightly as far as obeying or being disobedient to the Lord, but I guarantee you God doesn't take it lightly. He considers that to be very serious. And the Lord is going to cause the consequences of the people's disobedience to be upon them. They will have to suffer those consequences. And what Samuel did in verse 16, and he wanted to get this home to the people in verse 16, he said, "Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." Samuel is announcing a miraculous sign that God is going to perform a miraculous sign for the people of Israel. And in verse 17, he said, "Is it not wheat harvest today?" And he went on to say in verse 17, "I'm going to call on the Lord. He shall send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." Samuel and the Lord and Samuel wanted to bring the people to the point where they must admit to God that they wanting a king to rule over them, they were committing a wicked act. See, the people hadn't got there yet, you see. They hadn't recognized their wickedness before God by asking for a king. The Lord wanted to bring them up to that point. And in verse 17, Samuel said that God is going to bring thunder and rain. And you may be wondering, well, wait a minute. I mean, we had thunder and rain a few days ago. I remember. I heard it and I saw it. You know, what's the big deal about thunder and rain? Well, you notice in verse 17 that Samuel says, he mentioned to the people, reminded them this was the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest was the driest point of the year for the nation of Israel. Not a drop, and I mean not a drop of rain, came down on the nation of Israel during the wheat harvest, which was the dry season. When Israel had a dry season, that meant no rain, folks. You know, when we have a dry season, sometimes we have rain off and on. But, you know, the nation of Israel, when they had a dry season, they didn't get a drop of rain during that season. And the people were thinking, wow, this would be something else if God calls it to rain during this time of year. This would be a miracle of God. Well, why is the Lord sending this great sign to the people? Well, as I mentioned, so that the people can see by asking for a king that they were committing a wicked act and disobedience against the will of God. That's what the Lord was trying to bring the people of Israel up to. And in verse 18, Samuel called unto the Lord. The Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord sent that rain. He sent that thunder to the people. This great sign. And God got the attention of the people. Has the Lord ever gotten your attention before? In your life? He has me a few times. More than a few times. But God was trying to get the attention of the people. And it says in verse 18 that all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. That word fear means that they weren't afraid of Samuel and the Lord, but they had a reverential respect for God and for Samuel at this point in time. So we see that the people of Israel were on their way to recognizing their fact. They hadn't got there quite yet. They're on their way to recognizing the fact that by asking for a king to rule over them, they had committed a wicked act. And the Lord had performed this great sign for the people of Israel. And in verse 19, we see the response of the people in verse 19. They said, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. The people of Israel were telling Samuel, asking Samuel to pray for them. You notice what they said in verse 19, the wording there. Pray for thy servants. Don't pray for your disobedient people. Don't pray for your rebels. Don't pray for the people who defied God. Pray for God's servants, you see. The people are changing their minds. The people are coming to their senses. And they didn't want the Lord to put them to death. You know, pray to the Lord that hit Samuel that he won't kill us because of our disobedience. And finally, in the verse 19, at the end of verse 19, the people said, "For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king." The people finally realized they had sinned against the Lord by demanding a king. They had finally got there. They had finally realized that what they had asked for was a wicked sin. And you recall last week when we went over this passage in the previous chapters about how Samuel had told them what kind of king they were going to get, a deplorable tyrant as a king. And the people said, "Lord, hey, we still want a king. Give us a king, Lord. We still want one. We don't care what the consequences are. We want a king." And the Lord gave them a king. Gave him King Saul. But finally, you know, God had to deal with the people of Israel. The Lord wanted the people of Israel to come to the fact that, you know, they had sinned against God by asking for a king, even though that he granted their request. They had sinned against God for asking a king, and the Lord and Samuel wanted the people to repent of their sin and recognize that what they had done was wrong. And we're saying, God used used thunder and rain to get the attention of the people. He could have wiped out half of Israel if he wanted to in order to get their attention. But God was merciful. God was merciful to the people. God loves his people, brother and sister in Christ. And that's why he wanted to bring the people of Israel back to that realization that they had committed a sin, to repent of that sin, and get back into obedient fellowship with him. That's what the Lord wanted. He didn't want to destroy his people. He loves them. And in verse 20, it said that, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Don't fear, don't be afraid of the Lord. He is a merciful and gracious God. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? We have a merciful and gracious God. And Samuel said, turn not aside. Don't stop obeying the Lord because of this sin. Continue to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. God wanted the people to continue serving him, and that if they were willing to confess their sin to him, you know, he was going to show mercy to them. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Our God is a gracious, compassionate, merciful God. He will give us chances. He gave the children of Israel opportunities. He gives you and I opportunities after opportunity, chance after chance after chance. Week after week, month after month, year after year, God will give us opportunities to repent of our sins, to confess our sins to him. And we will be recipients of God's mercy, just like the children of Israel, just like the Israelites. In verse 21, Samuel went on, he said, "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." Now the vain things that Samuel is speaking about in verse 21 are the idols that the people, the false gods that the people got involved with. These false gods, of course, they can't deliver the people like the Lord. These false gods won't hear the prayers of the people of Israel. These false gods, these idols, they won't answer prayers. They can't see, can't speak, and they can't hear. They're just dumb, inanimate objects. We talked about that last week. And we see that Samuel is again bringing back to the nation of Israel's minds where they had come from and what they should not be involved in the future. These vain things. These false gods. And in verse 22, he further encourages the people of Israel. In verse 22, he says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people." The Lord will not forsake his people. God will never turn his back on the children of Israel. He will never do that. Why won't he forsake? Why won't he forsake his people? Because of his great name's sake. Because of his great name's sake. That's what Samuel said. Our God, brothers and sisters in Christ, he's a great God. He's a great God. We haven't even scratched the surface yet in our relationship with the Lord to understand his power, his greatness. We haven't even got there yet. We ain't got to the scratch yet. But our God is a great God. Our God in the future is so great that at the very name of Jesus, at the very name of Jesus, tongues will confess, knees will bow before the God of heaven, and they will confess with their mouths, their tongues, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's how great our God is. And Samuel wanted to get that truth across to the people of Israel. And he says further in verse 22, it says, "Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." The word in the Hebrew, it pleased the Lord, that word in Hebrew corresponds to the Greek word in the New Testament. And it has to do with the fact that we are God's people. We're not the church. I'm sorry. We're not Israel. We are the church. The church and Israel are two different things. But, you know, God looks at us, believers in Jesus Christ, as His people. In the Old Testament, the Jews, of course, and the Israelites were His people. But God says, or the Lord says in verse 22, He says, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. The Septuagint renders that, the Lord has graciously taken you to Himself as His people. Isn't that great? The Lord has graciously taken you to Himself as His people. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 100. We're the people of God. God will never turn His back on us. He will never forsake us, brother, sister in Christ. Never, never, never. He won't do it. Because if God turned His back on us, if He would forsake us, He wouldn't be God, would He? And it says in at the end of verse 20, remember these words. Remember these words. The Lord has graciously taken you to Himself as His people. What a wonderful God we have. Verse 23. Moreover, as for me, and Samuel speaking about himself, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. You know, Samuel's promise to the people was he was going to continue to pray for them. He wasn't going to stop to pray for them because he loved the people of Israel. He was one of them, you see. As I said before, Samuel loved the people of Israel. He was going to pray for them continually. And he will continue to teach and give godly instruction to the people. That was his job. He was committed to that. To teach his people and to give them godly instruction. And we see what a wonderful leader that is. You don't see many men like Samuel around nowadays, do you? But here was a man who was totally committed to his God, who was totally committed to his people, who was totally committed to the fact that I'm going to continue to teach and I'm going to continue to instruct these people of Israel because I love them. They are my people. Wished we had more people like that today in the church. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But Samuel says in verse 24, he continues to remind the people. In verse 24, he says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Fear the Lord. Again, that's that phrase that Samuel used again in this passage. Show respect. Show reverential awe to God. Show reverential respect to the Lord. And he says, verse 24 also, serve Him in truth with all your heart. We serve the brothers and sisters in Christ. We serve the Lord according to the truth of His Word. That's the only way to serve God. You can't serve Him any other way. You have to serve God according to the truth of His Word. If you don't serve God according to the truth of His Word, what your service is no good. It's no good. If we want to serve the Lord, and all of us here at Northgate Chapel in this auditorium tonight, I think we all want to serve the Lord. But if we do that, we must serve Him according to the truth of His Word. We must do that. We must serve Him that way. We don't serve Him because it's convenient. We don't serve Him because, well, I just don't feel like it today. We don't serve God because, well, you know, I've got other things to do. I've got this TV program I've got to watch, and I haven't got time to serve the Lord. You know, that's not the reason we serve God. We serve the Lord according to the truth of His Word. And that's the way God wants. That's the way our Savior wants it. And Samuel is retelling that. He's reminding the people of Israel of that fact, that that's the only way to serve God. In verse 24. And he says, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Consider how great things He has done for you. You know, the people of Israel, they forget a lot, don't they? Kind of like us. We forget about God sometimes. We forget about what the great things He has done, the answered prayer, the wonderful victories He's given us, the strength He's given us in times of darkness, all those things. Sometimes we just don't, we kind of push those things aside and we forget about them. But we, brother, sister in Christ, we need to remind ourselves that God has done great things for us. He has done great things for Northgate Chapel. He has done great things for His church in the world today. And He's going to continue to do those things. We must believe those things. And we must keep those things at the forefront in our minds. That God has done, had done incredible, wonderful things for the nation of Israel, from bringing them out of slavery in Egypt to bringing them into the land of promise and defeating all their enemies. We talked about that this morning. And God has accomplished wonderful things for His people. And He's doing it also again in 2009. He is accomplishing wonderful things for you and me. And we must remember that. We must keep that in our minds. And finally, in verse 25, the last verse in this passage, Samuel says, and this is a warning to the nation of Israel. He says, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. This is the final warning to the people. And Samuel is saying, you know, if you do wickedly, you're going to suffer the consequences. God is going to deal with you harshly. And the Lord did that over the centuries, didn't He? With His people, the nation of Israel. He dealt with them harshly. But it's not that they weren't warned. It's not that they were caught off guard. It's not that they weren't warned, because God gave them a warning. You know, God always gives us, sometimes He'll give you and I warnings in our life, won't He? Earl, don't go this way. If you go this way, you're going to get hurt. Okay, Lord, well, I won't. I'll just go over. Sometimes I'll say, I don't care, Lord. I'm going to do it anyway. And you know what happens to Earl after that, don't you? But see, God will give us warnings. He will let us know if we're going on the wrong path. See, God and Samuel, the Lord not only gave the people of Israel a warning, He gave them a way to come back to Himself. The people of Israel had to choose that for themselves. God performed this great sign for them, sending thunder and rain during the dry season. The people of Israel finally realized that God was trying to get their attention. They came back to the Lord. Samuel encouraged them to serve the Lord. He encouraged them. He reminded them that He is there, that they are God's people. He will never forsake them. Never forsake them. And our God will never, never forsake us. Praise God. The message is over. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And then we'll